We are back here on the morning shift, 2 days post a rough loss for the Falcons against the Seahawks. And in that game, we heard Coach Raheem Morris during halftime and even after the game talking about how he felt like the team just felt kind of flat and that things weren't necessarily clicking on offense or on defense. So let's focus specifically on defense. So he did get to speak with Dave Archer on the Raheem Morris coaching show. We know the pass rush has been an issue, but he is starting to see some positives.
It's both.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted to get him on the ground, but it is definitely positive improvement by those guys. I believe yesterday we had the one sack by JSW. Mm-hmm. He made it a great move and great power rush. We had another, which you thought it was a sack at the time, when you get the fumble snap, muff snap out the backfield, and Rook made a really good rush and got around there and got a chance to touch him down. And then we had the intentional grounding with Damone getting elevated yesterday, making a play for us on that edge, being able to cause some stuff like nature. Then the hurries and all the stuff that was happening with Grady and some of the interior guys was really positive. It was really trending in a positive direction. And we just got to improve on that performance and get it better every single week.
So right now, the Falcons have a league worst 6 sacks, and their pass rush win weight rate. I knew I was going to.
Win weight.
Can't do it. I have a trouble with the R's, like wrestle and W's. But anyway, that's another story. So 34.4%. So that's also 6 worst in the NFL.
Well, this was their best game as far as pressures go. I mean, I think they pressured on 50% of the times they came of his dropbacks, which is good, except for the fact that I think he was like 6 of 6 for 92 yards in some of those. So it was that was not when they blitz, I should say. So getting home is the problem for me. I've heard people talk about being aggressive. I think they've been very aggressive at times in how they've came after the quarterback. The problem is they haven't won enough, and I mean win by getting the quarterback on the ground. So many times guys get flushed. Also, correct me if you think I'm wrong, Mike, but I feel like the coverage we play in the secondary is a detriment to the pass rush. When you play off, and a veteran, we've played a lot of veteran quarterbacks. When they see that you're coming and you're playing 7 to 8 yards off of a receiver, they're going to get the ball out quick.
Yeah, but I think it goes hand in hand, right? I think when you play that kind of coverage, a lot of times you play it because you're not sure if you're going to get home, right? I mean, that's kind of, I think it kind of goes back and forth, right? I mean, when you walk up and you're impressed, it's like, dude, I'd love to press a guy, and I know we can cover him for a little bit downfield, but if I thought we could get home up front, we'd walk up and press him right now, and try to get home with just our 4-man rush or maybe adding a 5th guy in there, but I just don't think that's what they see right now. And I think Jimmy Lake is trying to do anything and everything he can to make sure to kind of keep, to tread water just a little bit. So, I don't know. I think it's a back and forth listening to Reem's comments right there. I love the fact that he's trying to be positive about it. It just stinks that we can kind of off the top of our head pick out like the 4 plays. You know what I mean? Like I'm
okay,
just like,
well,
dude. I'm with you. But I did see some good things. I don't want to take away from any of that, but nonetheless, I hope it starts to ramp up.
Well, not to go down a different path, but I don't see Mike Evans and Chris Godwin next week. Line up, I might be more open, and maybe they will be more open to coming up and pressing unproven receivers or guys who haven't produced to that extent in the league because maybe I can get to Baker.
Yeah. Well, and here's what I'll say. Baker is agile. Mobile, I guess, is the word, but I'm going to call him more agile. He moves around in the pocket well, still looking to throw downfield. And that's something we talked about through the first 3 or 4 weeks. When you looked at the matchups you had, it was like, these are not easy guys to rush. Last week really did line up in terms of what Geno Smith is, what that offensive line is. And so I think when you look at it from that angle, hopefully that thing can kind of correct itself a little bit. You try to get home on Baker.
Well, there's decisions that are involved in deciding on when you want to try to rush the quarterback. That did sound repetitive, but Coach Raheem Morris, he made more sense when he talked with Dave Archer on the coach's show.
The hardest times when you get down to those seconds at the end of halves, it's like a Hail Mary situation. How many are you going to rush? Some people rush an overload. Some people rush 3. Some people rush none, depending on what the situation is when you're talking about the Hail Mary situation. This wasn't quite the Hail Mary. This was kind of the must out of bounds or the ozone type plays that you hear about a little bit on television where it must be out of bounds or in the end zone. So when you're protecting the out of bounds because you throw it in front and we get a tackle, the half's over. That could be disastrous for them. We're talking about those guys like we did a couple years ago when they couldn't finish that thing in the playoffs. playoffs a couple years ago. But what you want to get done for us, man, is get this guy to throw the ball in bounds, or then throw it out of bounds, settle over his head. They're kicking a long field goal. They either make it or miss it at that point. And at this point against us, people have been nailing those things. But, you know, you can't let that guy cross your face to be able to go do those things. There's a lot of thought process going in that. And we went with the outside two-man version of what we wanted to do. And we can't let that guy get across our face from a safety standpoint. And we got to make those plays.
And he's talking about that touchdown to Metcalf in the first half, where I think they only sent three guys, and there was no pressure at all on Geno. He stood back there, and again, we talked about it yesterday. AJ played outside, so he's funneling that receiver inside because he's got safety help. And Raheem just told you the safety never crossed the face of the receiver, and so DK Metcalf catches a touchdown in the end zone, and you think, oh, well, AJ Terrell got burned again. Wasn't on A.J. Terrell.
Yeah. Well, not only that, there's a point in time, like 30 seconds or a minute before that, where you think our offense is going to march down the field, mm-hmm. and they're not able to get it done. And so you hate that you even put your defense in that situation. But, I mean, look, I just keep coming back and kind of replaying plays in my head. There was a number of times you walk up and you kind of bluff with a six-man front, and you walk Nate and Caden up, you know, in some of the A-gaps or B-gaps, and you kind of give that look, and then you bail, and you hope in those instances you run the twist games with Matthew Judon. Matthew Judon has not been good on twist games. I mean, like, it's unbelievable to watch him. He's a good edge rusher. He got stonewalled a number of times in this game, but then they was like, oh, let's run a twist game. Let's run a TE, see if we can get Judon on the inside to pressure. It ain't working either, man. So I will be curious, to your point, how they play the receivers this coming Sunday, because I think you have to mix up coverages. Obviously, you're a heavy cover three team, but you don't even run it half the time that you're on the field. That's your kind of your base. I'll be curious to see how physical they do want to get, though, with some of these younger guys that they'll be playing next weekend.
Well, and I do think, did I dream that Troy Anderson might practice this week? I thought I saw that reported, and I need to double check because I took a long nap last night. All I remember is waking up and watching the Tampa Bay game.
Buffalo Wild Wings, a little too much for you.
Well, it was just a long day. But I swear I saw that Troy Anderson was going to practice, and I think that could be huge in the run game. Nate Lemon back. Because
you are correct.
I'm correct?
So to set to return on Wednesday.
See, that's huge because I think then you could have instances where you have all three linebackers on the field at once, and I mean inside linebackers with Caden Ellis, Troy Anderson and Nate Lambin, because I think this team, they've kind of developed a three-headed monster at running back. Quietly, Tampa Bay has one of the deepest running back rooms in the league with Sean Tucker, Rashad White, and Bucky Irvin. And Irvin's their home run guy. And I think you have three guys now. They might want to run the ball, but you could also use Caden Ellis in situations where he's coming off the edge, or maybe he's used in some kind of twist, stunt, blitz, whatever you want to dial up, and he could be an extra pass rusher. Because one thing Caden Ellis does a really good job of is discipline in the pass rush game.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Not only that, but you think about the possibilities, and I don't know what Jimmy Lake's got in his back pocket. I don't know what these guys have cooking up. I know that you've seen some odd front this year. I think that Caden Ellis could be a part of that. Obviously, if you can move Troy Anderson in there, it kind of adds that speed onto the field in some of those situations where maybe you take out a D lineman and you're able to put those three guys on the field. And like I said, you feel good about the speed for that. I will ask you this, too. Have you noticed that we really have not seen much of Zach Harrison this year? And his snap count seems to be down. And it seems like when he's on the field, I notice him because it seems like he's wreaking havoc. But we haven't seen much of him, and I'm just curious how that he kind of fits in this puzzle, and wonder if you'll see more reps out of him eventually in the pass rush game, because he seems to be decently disruptive, especially when he's in a four-man front and he's over one of those guards to be able to do some things. So I'd be curious to see how that all pans out, but you got to find something. I guess my overall kind of theme as we talk about it here is we keep throwing stuff at the wall and wondering what if, and Raheem's like, you know, we're getting better. It's got to all come together at some point, man. You have to have one of these games where you can actually affect the passer and not have to, kind of keep your finger in the dam on the back end.
And Harrison only played 11 snaps on Sunday, but you know who did get a lot of snaps Sunday and who I thought had his best game of the season? I know he didn't get home, but I thought Arnold Ebiketie played his best game of the season.
I thought you were going to say DeMond Harrison. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's his only game of the season.
No. Ebiketie played 50% of the snaps on defense. He got two less snaps than Matthew Judon. And basically, it was Judon, Smith-Williams, and Ebiketie, the three guys that were consistently on the edge coming after Geno. And obviously, Damone Harris had a couple plays in there as well. He got – actually, Damone Harris played a lot of snaps. He took –
oh, he had to. Both of them had to, honestly.
He took Zoe's snaps, but I know with Zoe out, Ebiketie got more. I thought Ebiketie played pretty well. I know he didn't get home, but I thought he made some plays in the run game and was right there. He actually overran the touchdown that Kenneth Walker caught.
What the – I can't remember when James Smith-Williams went out. Refresh my memory. I can't remember what point of the game that was.
I think it was in the second or third quarter.
And you got him and Zoe out. You got to kind of plug that up with a bunch of those guys.
But he came back in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I know he did, but I'm just saying that that's going to be added snaps too.
The NBA season starts tonight, but the Hawks in action tomorrow will set the table on the other side. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We'll be right back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.